How many of you know you have a calling, and it is a divine calling, and it is a beautiful calling? So today, what we're going to talk about, the title of the message is Fan into Flame, the Gift of God. Fan into Flame, the Gift of God. This is based out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. I just happen to have one named Timothy myself. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember you in tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. So this is the father's heart of Paul. Although he wasn't a natural father, he was a spiritual father to Timothy. And you can just hear his love for Timothy. And he goes on and he says this in verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Everybody say sincere faith. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, Paul's exhortation to Timothy was to fan into flame the gift of God that was in him. Now, the King James Version says it this way. It says, stir up the gift of God that is in you. The gift is ultimately the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is a gift? Now, we have gifts that the Lord gave the church called the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the gift. He's the one that Jesus said he would send to the church, to the disciples, after he gave them the Great Commission. And so, it is the Holy Spirit and everything that he brings into your life. It is evident that Paul understood that it wasn't enough to just receive this gift, but that the gift must be used. Now, remember what Paul said. He says, you got the gift, now you need to stir this thing up. You need to activate this gift. You need to fan this thing into flames. And so the gift must be activated. And it's also evident that Timothy was responsible for keeping the gift stirred and active. How many of you know God cannot stir up the gift within you? God cannot activate the gift within you. It's something you have to do. And you do it by faith, and you do it by obedience. And we do know that there is an impartation that happens through the laying on of hands, and that's why we do that and we believe in that. But Timothy had to keep that gift stirred and active, and we could say it another way. It was Timothy's responsibility to keep the fire burning. He was the keeper of the flame, so to speak. And I want to say to every person hearing my voice today, the most important thing that can happen in anybody's life today, the most important thing is that if you've not done so yet, that you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not done so yet, it's to be forgiven of your sins. It's to literally become a child of God and to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. Because when this life is over, the only thing that's really going to count is whether or not that's the case. Now, when we stand before God, there will be other things that we will be accountable for, and there will be rewards and all of those things. But number one, let's get our name in the book. Amen. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, is your name in the book? And then wait for an answer. And if they say no, say, you can get it in the book today. Go ahead and tell them, you can get it in the book today. Look, I want to tell you, it's much better to have your name written on his book than on the one that people are worried about around Christmas time, you know, the naughty list by Santa Claus or what, you know. Listen, God wants us to know that Christ is real, that Christ made a horrific sacrifice for us, and he doesn't want that to be wasted. And he wants us to know that Christ lives in our heart and that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's number one before anything else. And again, this is the single most important thing that can happen to any human being. And it must be the thing we care about as people. We must care about that, about other people, more than anything else. You know, I'm glad when people are blessed. I'm glad when people make money. I'm glad when they have good jobs. I'm glad if they're able to get a nice house and a nice car. And I'm glad that maybe their kids grow up and become some kind of star of some sporting event or whatever. I'm thankful for all of that stuff. But none of that matters if a person is not born again. So if we love them, we want them to be born again. I don't care how well you know the Bible or what church you belong to, you must be born again. I don't care how good or how decent of a person people think you are or you think you are, you must be born again. Jesus himself said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said, except you be born of the water, which means natural, born of the water, natural birth, and the Spirit, a spiritual birth, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Now, some people believe that means baptized when you're talking about born of the water. I don't believe that. I believe that's talking about simply natural birth, as like when a woman is about to give birth, their water breaks, right? So he's just saying you gotta do more than just be born. You gotta be born again. Once you've been born again, once you become that new creation in Christ Jesus, because that's primary, then the next most important thing that can happen in your life is a baptism, but it's not necessarily the baptism in water. That's wonderful, and we should do that. That's the first act of obedience. That is like signing the marriage certificate that you've become the bride of Christ, all right? But the next most important thing is what we call baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire. Can somebody say, fire! John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Jesus believed the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be so important that he commanded his disciples to not leave Jerusalem until they had received this Holy Spirit and fire baptism. He gave them a great commission. He told them, I want you to go preach the gospel around the world. I want you to make disciples. I want you to do all this. But before you attempt to do anything for me, I need you to get fire baptized. I need you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptism just simply means immersed, right? That's all it means. It means allowing the Holy Spirit to literally saturate and soak every fiber of our being. And so Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And then we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, just like we are today. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we live in a time today where so many people are like, because they don't understand it, they get freaked out over tongues. I mean, what is all this tongues thing? What is it? And for whatever reason, they're scared of it and they get freaked out over it. But can I tell you that God is not going to give you something that's harmful to you? If he offers us something as a gift, it's because it's something that will bless our life. And it's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to be scared about. And listen, it's not like, you know, God is a gentleman. It's not like he's just going to take you and start, you know, just making you babble stuff and take control over you in a way that you have no will and that you... It's not like that. It's a wonderful gift that he gives us, this gift of tongues. But that's just one part of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Man, he gives us great boldness. He gives us wisdom. He gives us supernatural gifts that operate through us. Amen. He gives all of that to his body so that he can do things that nobody can explain through his people. We have a lot of people in this church that have been supernaturally healed, and miracles have happened in their lives in a way that nobody can explain. Medically, it cannot be explained, but God's word explains it. Amen. And so, again, the Holy Spirit is the supernatural equipment to fulfill the great commission to carry on the ministry to Jesus. Now, we recently talked about the Great Commission. And it's the Great Commission is for all of us. The Great Commission is God recommissioning his people, his church, to do what Adam and Eve failed to do, to spread the knowledge of his glory around the whole earth. That was God's design from the very beginning. Well, he has now commissioned us to carry on the ministry of Jesus. And what was the ministry of Jesus? What does that commission look like? Well, number one, let me give you three things. Number one, he came to seek and save that which was lost. All right? He's still seeking and saving that which was lost today. And when we talk about that which was lost, it doesn't just mean people. It means the authority that was lost. It means the peace that was lost, the love that was lost. All of those things, Jesus came to seek and save those things. In other words, take that back for his people. Number two, he came to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. When Jesus came, Jesus brought the kingdom with him. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience the kingdom of God. We can experience the kingdom of God now. If you're born again, you're a kingdom citizen right now, all right? So he came to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Number three, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was doing that. You know what that is? That's destroying the works of the devil. Now, keep in mind that all the things Jesus did, he told us we will do. All right? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So in other words, Jesus hasn't changed his mind about what his work is. And he has now taken that work that he was doing and he finished his part and he gave the rest to us. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Jesus' ministry, just like he never changes, his ministry never changes. And so now we are what you would call continuators. We are commissioned, we are anointed to continue the ministry of Jesus on earth. Now, none of us will ever have to die for the sins of any other person. Jesus already took care of that part. But we continue to do the work that he did while he walked the earth. And people think that he could do it because he was Jesus, and that's impossible. Well, the scripture tells us nothing is impossible with God. And when we're listening to the voice of the Lord, when we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, then nothing is impossible for us either. We just have to know whether it's within the will of God, because if we ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears it and we have it. The problem is so many people don't know what the will of God is. But I'm here to tell you, we can see through the actions of Jesus what the will of God is. And the will of God certainly is dealing with devils and getting them out of our midst, as well as healing the sick and raising the dead and setting people free through the gospel message. We know that that's his will. All right, so 1 John 4:17, by this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. As he is, so also are we in this world. Did you catch what that said? As he is, so also are we in this world. Talking about Jesus. The book of Acts is a diary and a record of the New Testament church in her infancy. It is the record of the operation of the Holy Spirit through yielded vessels. The book of Acts is a pattern for the New Testament church. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit are the defining characteristics of the New Testament church. Now, I know that that's becoming more and more rare as time goes by, but I want to tell you, I believe that God is about to resurrect life into the people of God, and we're going to begin to see more and more and more of those things, that people cannot explain. So to say it another way, the New Testament church acted just like Jesus. Now, how many of you know that's kind of some big shoes to wear? Well, maybe we ought to say sandals, because that's what he wore back then. But, you know, think about that. The responsibility, the weight of responsibility that he has placed on us is that all the power that he placed on Jesus, he now places on us, and he expects us to do something with it. Amen? That's why Paul told Timothy, you got to fan that flame. Man, you got to stir up that thing. So, listen, some people are real good at stirring up trouble, but we need to stir up the gift that God gave us. And if we're going to stir up any trouble, let's make sure it's trouble for the devil. Amen? So again, his people, they healed the sick and cast out devils. They performed signs and wonders and miracles. They raised the dead. They manifested the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if there's one thing that we need in our churches today and in our lives individually today, it is a fresh anointing of the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need a Holy Spirit invasion. Amen? That's what we need. Something that originates from heaven. Something that will shake us up. Something that will wake us up. Something that will stir us up. Something that will set us on fire. Everything you need is in the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, there have been many times in my life, even pastoring, you know, begin to let things get to me, begin to let things get me down, begin to let the opinions of people get to me. And notice that the fire just kind of seems to be waning. And the Lord has to show up and say, boy, didn't I tell you to stir that thing up? Stir that thing up. Get them hot coals on that thing. Get it stirring. I'm about to blow my wind upon those coals. And when it does, the flame is going to come. But you better stir this thing up and get it ready. I started this message with Paul's words to Timothy. But he might as well have been speaking to us. Because if there's one thing we need in our churches, in our personal lives today, it's that energy, it's that life, it's that vitality, that fire, that power, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, just dead, dry religion does nothing. It doesn't benefit anybody. But when you got a little fire in there, when you got the Holy Spirit in the midst, when you have his fire stirring up in the hearts of the people, we become dangerous against the kingdom of darkness. We can look at the world and we can cite the world as being our problem. And we can look at some other outside source. We can blame the atmosphere around us. But the truth is, we can't really blame anybody. Why? Because we are the keepers of the flame. He told Timothy, now listen, Timothy went through some stuff, as all preachers do, as all pastors do. He went through some stuff. And Paul says, but Timothy, you're the keeper of the flame. You need to get this flame going again, son, because you're not going to be able to do what I've called you to do without it. Amen? And I want to tell you, that's not just for pastors. So we can blame everything around us, but really, we're the keeper of the flame. And on the day of Pentecost, when the mighty Holy Spirit came, as Reinhard Bonnke used to say, and man, I love him, he's a wonderful preacher, and with the Lord now, and he's reaping rewards now. But Reinhard Bonnke used to say, there's a flame for every head. Amen. There's a flame for every head. It was a personal Pentecost. Every person is responsible to fan the flame of Pentecost, to keep the fire burning. And we must fan into flame and stir that gift that is in us. When is the last time you really consciously, knowingly, and intentionally said, God, I'm stirring up the fire. I'm stirring up the flame. I'm fanning the flame. I want them coals to come back alive. I want your fire operating in my life, Lord. I want to see your power operating and flowing through me as well as the rest of my church. So the first step of stirring the flame is to remove anything that's flame resistant. That means get rid of anything that is offensive or resistant to the Holy Spirit. And that can be done very simply. It's one word, repent. Just repent. Just make it right. Repent of allowing the accumulation of junk in your life. That means seek the Lord with all your heart. That means to seek to know his will. It means to seek to find out what pleases him. That means to spend time worshiping and adoring Jesus. That means to spend time in his word, finding out what his will is, because his word is what tells us what his will is. Eat his word. Meditate on his word. That means to do as Jude says and build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We have to stir up the gift. There is an anointing in you. Won't you tell somebody, there's an anointing in you. Listen, if you've been born again, there's an anointing in you. If you've not been born again, get born again, and you will have that anointing in you. There is a fire in you. It may be low, and for some folks, it might just be a little bit of a flicker right now, because all kinds of stuff, it just seems like you've allowed it to kill the fire, to bring the flame down. But it may seem like there's no fire at all there for some folks. But if you'll just begin to stir those ashes, the wind of the Spirit will begin to blow in your life again, and the fire will burn again. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go camping all the time, and there was this one particular place where we would go camping. And that week, we happened to go one week, and then we left a week and went back the next week. And I had made a fire And I had taken that fire, and I had put a whole big old pile of pine needles on that fire. And I guess it kind of smothered it out. You know, I had really covered it. But that next time we went out there, no one else had been there, and we went out there. I went out to that fire, and all I did was take a stick and poke it in through them pine needles and stir it around a little bit. And anybody know what happened? Oh, yeah. Here comes the flame. We had a nice little wind blowing that day, and here came the flame, and that thing went from seemingly dead to a raging fire. And I want to tell you, God wants to do that in some of y'all's lives. I'm trying to poke you right now. I'm trying to get something in there to stir some things up a little bit. Listen, we can't afford to let the fire go out. This world needs to see some fire. It needs to see the real thing, right? We're too close to the end. The bridegroom is at hand. Many believers, unfortunately, in the church are asleep right now. And they're still singing songs and maybe saying amen and hallelujah, but the enemy is doing everything he can to keep that fire suppressed. Lord, a few years ago, began to really talk to me about the fire and releasing the fire. And we've seen, in fact, we have a man sitting right here, the fire of God healed him after 24 years. And I'll never forget Ms. Barbara saying, I heard you talking about the fire. And I said, Lord, I want that fire. And things begin to happen. Supernatural. And she got a word for him. God's about to heal him. And after 24 years of being crippled, the man is healed. That's right. It was that fire of God. The Lord told me to lay my hands on that man standing. And he told me to lay my hands on that man's muscle back here that had been completely detached. And he said, call the fire into it. I called the fire into it, and that muscle reattached itself. And this is doctor confirmed, right? And I've never seen anything like that in my life. His leg picked itself up and started moving around by itself. And he started saying, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, right? I saw that with my own eyes. I felt that muscle stretch under my hand. It was the fire of God that did it. I want to tell you, the fire of God's here for you today. Amen. Listen, the enemy wants to keep it suppressed. It's time for us to stir up that gift. Tell somebody, wake up that calling. Tell them, wake up that destiny. Tell them, wake up that anointing. Tell them, wake up that fire. You know, years ago, I used to have a hot rod and had a powerful engine in it. And I noticed something about that car. I noticed that it doesn't matter how big or how high performance your engine is. If it has no fire to push them pistons, you're dead in the water. You may even have a whole full tank of high octane gasoline in that car. But if you have no fire, you ain't going anywhere. And it doesn't matter how much destiny is in you or how many gifts or calling are in you. Unless you are activated by the Holy Spirit, they're dead. Understand how many prophecies you may have in your life over the years, no matter how many have been given to you, without the activation of the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to happen. They're never going to come to pass without the activation of the Holy Spirit. When you are activated, you are also going to activate others. There's something about it. It's kind of contagious. When you're on fire, you can release the fire to others. And I'm telling you, this is true. People get around you, and they know something's different, and there's a hunger there. There have been people in my life that when I get around them, I can feel the fire of God just wanting to stir up in me. They become dangerous to the enemy. Listen, when Samson set the tails of those 300 foxes on fire, how many of you know they became dangerous to the enemy? They carried the fire. And they released the fire, and they spread the fire everywhere they went. Everything they touched caught on fire. And listen, they didn't even really have to touch it. They just had to get close to it, right? They just had to pass by it. They just had to run by, and that fire jumped off of them. Won't you tell somebody, God wants to set your tail on fire. Listen, Peter carried that fire. They laid the sick and the diseased and the demon-possessed in the streets, and as his shadow passed over them, they were healed, delivered, and set free. That's Bible, right? Paul had that kind of fire, so much so that even as people came in contact with the handkerchiefs, I said the handkerchiefs. Did I say the handkerchiefs? I said the handkerchiefs that had touched him, they were healed and delivered and set free. Acts 19:11-12, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Timothy had that kind of fire. History tells us that Timothy became a great apostle and a great church planter who preached the gospel in the face of great danger. He was described somewhat as a timid person, but when he got the fire, all that changed. He was faithful to the end. In fact, Timothy literally laid his life down as a martyr to bring the message of Jesus to the world around him. He had the fire of God, and he kept it stirred up. And I want to tell you, you can have that same kind of fire raging in you, that same kind of anointing flowing in you. Now, let me remind you of something here, that it was Timothy's grandmother and his mother who got that whole thing started in his life. And this just so happens to be Mother's Day. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you, first of all, these handkerchiefs, one is for you to keep, all right? And I just believe this. I sense it. I feel this in the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit moving on this, that God is going to use you, okay, not just these ladies here, but he's going to use you, ladies. There's an anointing that is upon you because of that motherhood. And if there's one thing about moms, they want their kids to be okay, all right? And so I want to encourage you to hang on to one of those for yourself, but I want you to find one person, somebody, not it doesn't have to be in here, but somebody who needs a healing, they need a miracle, and I want you to take that other handkerchief to them, okay? And you keep the one you want, all right? And they're just going to pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for the fire right now. Thank you for the fire being released in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for that anointing, a supernatural anointing flowing, oh God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that there's something real, something tangible. This is not just something that we're dreaming up, oh God. This is real. Lord, we release the fire of God right now. Stir it up within each one. Stir it up, oh God. Thank you, Father. Signs, wonders, miracles, healings, things that cannot be explained, God, flowing through them, oh God. I thank you for anointing their hands, for anointing their lips, oh God. I thank you, Father God, for moving supernaturally right now. Lord, just as on the days of Pentecost, Father God, I thank you for a fresh outflowing of your Spirit. A fresh burning of your fire, a flaming, Father God, a flaming up, oh God. I thank you for bringing dead things alive, oh God, in Jesus' name. I thank you for waking people up, for giving them purpose, Father God, eternal purpose, eternal hope that no one can explain. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that the very same anointing that you've placed upon us, Lord God, on myself and on Pastor Cindy, oh God. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you that that is passing down, Father, through this point of contact to these people. We release fire in Jesus' name, healing in Jesus' name, supernatural boldness in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Now. Now, in Jesus' name, freedom, liberty, fire, 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 in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you for starting something this morning that the enemy can't do anything about, oh God. I thank you for starting something this morning in the lives of your people, Lord God. Starting something in this church that will cause the enemy to tremble, oh God. That will cause the enemy to run and to flee in horror. In Jesus' name, fire, 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 in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your anointing that is upon these ladies right now, upon these mothers right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, may that kind of love fill and flood every heart today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for restoring, for raising up, oh God. I thank you for doing what no man can do, oh God, only by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for healing these bodies. And I thank you, Lord, that you're placing an anointing upon them, Lord, where they're going to leave this place and they're going to bring healing to people. They're going to bring life to people. Lord, they're going to bring truth to people. They're going to bring encouragement to people. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory and honor and praise. Lord, we glorify your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. May your fire be stirred up. Lord, may your fire be fanned into flame, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're keeping it alive and burning, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We release to them right now. In Jesus' name, we release to them. I thank you, Father, your hand is upon these young men right here. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're going to use them for their generation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for the fire. Thank you for the fire. Thank you for the fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the fire. Thank you for the fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the fire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the fire. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Lord, baptize them. Saturate them in your Holy Spirit. Saturate them in your Holy Spirit, oh God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for plenty of oil. Lord, that the fire will never go out. In Jesus' name. Lord, give them a passion for the lost to get them saved. Give them a passion, Lord, to love people like you love them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We release the fire. We release the fire. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for healing every hurt. I thank you for turning everything around for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord God, I thank you, Father, that you are equipping, you are activating. I thank you, Father God, that people will be absolutely consumed by your desire, by your love, by your fire. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity to be together. Lord, again, we thank you for the moms. We thank you for that heart that you put in them, oh God. Lord, and we thank you, Father, for your touch upon people's lives today. Lord, I pray, make yourself known, Father, more than any other time, make yourself known to your people this day, this hour, in Jesus' name. Now, I want to do one more thing. If you would, just pray with me today. Now, I've often said this. Words mean nothing if you don't mean them, but I feel led to do this morning. I want to pray a prayer of salvation. So I'm asking everybody in this room, if you would, just to say these words out loud. And if you're in this room, maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe you don't know if you're born again. Let's go ahead and get that taken care of right now. Let's get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. Why don't you pray with me? And if you mean this from your heart, God hears it, and he will honor your faith. In Jesus' name, Father, we come to you now through the name of Jesus. Lord, I receive your gift of salvation. Lord, I repent of my sin. I lay my sin at the foot of the cross and allow the blood of Jesus to wash over it. Make me a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus, so that the old is gone and the new has come. I receive your life. I receive your salvation. I receive what you died to give me. And I surrender my life to you. And I live for you all the days of my life by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.